Howdy and welcome to the show. Cooper's Code focuses on legal issues and notable practitioners, distilling wisdom so we all achieve the best results for our clients. I'm Miles Cooper, and with today's guest, Robert Iglehart of Cooper's, we will be discussing career transitions. If you're enjoying what we do here at Cooper's Code, please help us extend our reach by giving us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts, and consider sharing an episode with a friend. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Glad to be here.
What do we want to talk about today?
We are going to start today's conversation with changes in the career, one's career.
I think it's a timely topic given that you have just recently transitioned. How many years in practice are you at this point?
I was sworn in, I believe, December 2013. And I started at my previous job January 2014 as a contractor.
Okay. So you've got roughly 10 years in.
That's right.
And I think one of the reasons this is an interesting conversation, I, over the years, had to kind of reach a point in my career where it was time to figure out what I was going to do next. I had 17 years with my mentor, Cynthia. And I've had a lot of conversations with people, my colleagues, defense lawyers sometimes, and it's always in that kind of like that 7 to 15 year period where it comes time to start thinking about what comes next.
I think that's fair. Definitely around that time. I was a added change for me was my wife was pregnant at the time. So really put in perspective of where do I see myself in the future and how can I, what's going to be best for me and my family. So I think that 10 year mark is spot on of what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? And where am I going to be? Or where do I see myself moving forward? Because you're past that new phase and more into that mid-range phase of your job and career.
So what types of things did you start evaluating when you started thinking, you know, it may be time for me to do something different?
So the key for me was, how can I continue to improve and get better at my chosen profession of, you know, being a plaintiff lawyer? And how can I make myself, rather than being comfortable, challenging myself with change? And I didn't want to become so comfortable. And it was great, my previous job. I loved it there. And it was fantastic people that I still rave about and learned a lot. But I felt like I was getting into a groove where I would have just continued to do so. And I needed something to kind of jumpstart and challenge myself with a new situation so I felt less comfortable and that I could learn new things and become a better lawyer in person.
In that regard, do you have an interest in trying cases yourself?
Absolutely. I've kind of been in a lull, but I remember when I first started there, I was thrown into a trial with Cynthia McGuinn where I didn't know what to expect because I think the trial was a month from when she told me that we were going to be living in Sonoma for what was supposed to be, I think, a month trial turned into 3 months. So that definitely sparked something that I would want to do more of and challenge myself by doing that because it is probably the pinnacle of what we do and the most challenging aspect of our jobs where we have to present beyond point all the time during that entire, you know, trial.
And I think that's one of the challenges as lawyers try and figure out their career trajectory. There are requirements that we have in terms of being successful in our careers to be able to demonstrate that we can try cases. The insurance companies tend to pay more to people who can demonstrate that. And at the same time, because alternative dispute resolution has gotten so effective, 98% of cases settle. So,
no, that's spot on. It's there's not many opportunities now to go to trial because at the end of the day, if there's a good offer on the table that's going to benefit the client, of course, you're going to have to take that. So the opportunities to actually get to a trial, they're few and far between. When you're working with some people who have such a storied history of success, the other side typically will look at that and say, we don't really want to do this against them, so we might as well put our best foot forward. So there's less opportunities to try cases because, of course, they don't want to take that risk. So being with them, I less of an opportunity to try cases because of their success and being able to lean on them. So that's another thing of getting out of the comfort zone of trying to stand on your own two feet.
So one of the things that we've done as a firm is we've tried to take some more challenging cases.
That's very true. I've experienced that with the 3 months I've been here.
I like your smile. And I don't mean that in a euphemistic sense. We certainly have some cases that are more challenging on the liability side. Also, though, there are certain cases that insurance companies are just more likely to try. And the challenge, we always want the best situation for our client in terms of resolution. And if a carrier is offering zero or the equivalent of zero, and there's really limited downside risk to our client, it is beneficial to take some cases that are lower value, that are not life-altering for the client if it's unsuccessful, but then provide opportunities for us to get out, make sure that we keep our edges honed.
That is one point you brought up early on in our discussion of moving over to Coopers, is that there will be cases that are challenging, that are less likely to get an offer from the other side. But at the same time, there is something behind this of putting everyone in the position so there can actually be trials and more experience and get that, as the term goes, cut your teeth. So that is definitely something that I've seen. And while it's, the cases that you don't want to go to trial go to trial, and the cases that you do want to go to trial, they never go to trial. So
one of the things that from the outside perspective seemed to be handled very well by you was, and I can't avoid just using lawyer terms, the foundation that you laid for your transition. And here's what I mean by that. The legal community is very small. And so you are leaving a very successful firm with quality people. How did you take the steps to make sure that you maintained relationships, did it in a professional manner, did it cordially? And I'm going to object to my question as compound, but it's a launch pad for your feedback on that.
The amount of respect I have for them, I did not want to lose that. And I did not want to lose the connection that I made with everyone at that firm, between the partners, the legal assistants, all the staff. I mean, they truly were like family for a long time. And I did not want to burn that bridge, because you connect with people and you want to continue that connection for the foreseeable future, even if you aren't there every day. So the way I did it was I kind of ripped off the Band-Aid, and once I knew I was going to make the transition, I called as soon as I knew and said, I have some tough news. It's hard for me to say this to you, and it's going to be hard for you to hear it, but I have decided, after much deliberation and thinking about what's best for me and my family, and that is to make this change. And kudos to them, being that they took it well. They said, we want what's best for you. And if you think this is what's best, then great. We'll give you our blessing. So just being honest and upfront about everything helped, without trying to hide the ball. And then, of course, the second part of it is you give them enough notice so that everything is in order, so that you aren't putting their business and their clients at risk of when you leave, just kind of being, good luck. So I did a lot of preparation last month of laying everything out, writing memos for everything, every one of the cases, to say, this is where it is. I was at a lucky point too, I tried it on my best I could, but it's very hard to do so, to plan it in a way where the cases that I was helping on were at a good position where if it was some awkwardness of trying to get acclimated to it, there wouldn't be any affecting the case itself. So I waited to a point where I said, all right, now's a good time. Here it is. I'll be giving you a month. So if anything goes wrong, but the transition's complete and where you guys are in good hands.
why that approach as opposed to calling up clients beforehand, secretly getting everything put in boxes or on hard drives and disappearing in the middle of the night with the cases?
Part of it goes to just my character. I can't do that. That's just not who I am. And I also wouldn't want anyone to do that to me. So why would I do that to somebody else? I think a clean break is the best in the sense of I am changing, making changes for me. But at the same time, here's everything for you. And you will burn bridges. Like you said earlier, small community, always going to come across everyone you work with, probably in your career, a few times at least. And the word will get around and you don't want that. You don't want that reputation. I don't want that reputation. And having that reputation will get everything a lot more difficult for your future. And it's just, I just think it's also underhanded. So I couldn't do that.
And I should be clear, because I delivered that in my typical dry delivery, that that's a little bit of humor there. And that's not the way that most lawyers handle that because of it being a small community.
Yeah.
And because it's a small community and one's reputation does precede one, you can work your whole career and then one action like that can undo all of the hard work that you've done to generate the reputation that you have.
Yeah. And I remember years ago having a saying told to me, credibility is the coin or the currency of the kingdom, one or the other. And it stuck in the sense of once you lose that, you can never really gain it back. So if you're doing things of sneaking into the office, taking files, calling clients, saying, I'm leaving, you should come with me. These people don't know how to do it. It's just not right. And two, you're never going to be able to come back from that. So, but I've never heard that happen, thankfully. And I hope I never have to hear about someone doing something like that.
Also in the transition department, did you build in some flexibility or work with us to build in some flexibility in terms of the amount of time that was needed? Much more advanced notice, or if you can't find somebody to help out, I can be around for a little bit longer.
Yes. Originally I wanted to take some time off between transitions just to kind of play with my new daughter and just give me some time to decompress. But at the end of the day, you want to give enough time. And I think I gave a month for the transition and a little bit extra, because it's just, you want to start off on a good footing with coming over for me, coming over to Cooper's, and two, you want to leave on a good note. So it's the balance of the two, and it's trying to both companies, firms have to, you're being hired because you're needed and you're making the transition on your own, and they still need to cover their business. So it's a balancing act, but at the end of the day, I think both sides, for me, it was good. I mean, Cooper's was understanding about giving advance more notice than probably traditionally, and Ruta Feeder, TJ McGuinn was understanding and knew that it was a new start and I needed to get there sooner rather than later. So also it was at the end of the year, so it was traditionally the quiet time.
Did you have any sort of technology needs for your transition? Meaning, were you having to take any files out of a document management system or any of your template documents that you needed to bring over?
The case management software was actually a new thing for me here. So nothing that I needed to take. And when I transitioned over here, I wasn't taking any cases with me. Clean break is the best break in my opinion. And I just came over here fresh and I didn't have to bring anything. So it was pretty streamless.
That does make it easier. I ask a little bit because when Cynthia and I moved our team over from Veeam to Ruta Feeder, we were using not case management, but document management software. And so we moved from a platform back then called iManage to WorldDocs. And document management software, case management software, they're very useful, but once you put your files in them, it is almost impossible to exist without them being operational.
Very true. And I know that is trying to sync them all up, I hear, is difficult, but luckily I think a lot of firms nowadays are using SharePoint, so it's copy and paste. But as far as that aspect,
there's an upside and an outside. And I worked in Veeam in more of a management role on the software side. And one of the reasons so many firms have document management software is so that less technologically sophisticated lawyers don't inadvertently drag and drop an entire case file or an entire directory. Document management software can be set up in such a way where you don't have entire files inadvertently being deleted.
I remember I had to learn Word Docs when I first started with Cynthia, because that's what she loved to use, and that's just the system that they did. So it was definitely a learning curve with certain document management and changing, but maybe one day they'll figure a way out to make it seamless and easy.
No, I doubt that. I say that, and I know that we are in a strange new world of artificial intelligence, and perhaps everything will be better in 5 years, 10 years, we'll have our jetpacks, flying cars.
Hopefully, that would be cool.
The part of the reason I asked about the technology change is, as one is planning that part of one's transition, if you're bringing forms, or if you do have to take some cases, if that's been something that's been agreed to, one of the things to plan for is to build in that extra time for the technology need, because that can be a challenging transition to move from one platform to another.
Right here. And I know you had to do that a couple times, so.
Yes, I did. And each time, it certainly helps to be open, honest, and direct so that you can have a meaningful dialogue with the tech people at one firm and the tech people at the other firm to make it a smoother transition.
Definitely. It's all about making this transition as smooth as possible, both from the tech part and from the personal part.
Also helps when the tech person is the same at the different firms. So, and we're chuckling a little bit just because we've worked with the same technical person for quite some time.
He's a good guy. And now it's a family business. Now his daughter's taking over.
Yeah. Well, family firm picks another family firm, right?
Funny how that works out.
Are there other things about your transition that you feel would be helpful for people to know in terms of some of the thought process that you put into making somebody in your situation taking those next steps?
I would just say think about it very... For me, it wasn't like a knee-jerk moment where I just said, I need to do something different. It was something that had been in my mind for quite some time, and I thought it through very hard, spoke to those close to me about it, and ultimately I thought that it wasn't like a week where I said, I need to do something different. It was more of the idea came into my mind a while ago, and then I said, I'm enjoying what I do, so let me see how it turns out. And then it was a progressive thing over time where I said, okay, yes, I think this is the right choice now, finally, and don't make quick actions. And then at the same time, I still go to lunch with Cynthia every month, keep in touch. And yeah, at the end of the day, you want what's best for those that you've been with for a long time. And if you come with that mindset of I want what's best for them and I want what's best for me, I think it all kind of works out itself. And the change is easier that way.
As people are making these decisions, there are certain other avenues that folks sometimes go down. They sometimes will cross the V, meaning you'll see defense lawyers sometimes become plaintiff's lawyers, or the opposite, a plaintiff's lawyer who wants more stability potentially becoming a defense lawyer. And by stability, I mean predictable income, predictable case flow, what have you. You also see people sometimes partnering up with some of their like law school or their colleagues, or you see people opening up their own firm. Are there reasons why this path appealed to you more than, say, any of the others at this stage in your career?
For the defense side, strictly because I've never kept my time, my hourly rate, so I don't know how I could go do that. It would be a Herculean task for me. It just is something that is so foreign that I just don't know. And also at the same time, I've only seen defense attorneys in my personal life change over to the plaintiff side. I've never seen the other way around. And a lot of them seem like, even though it's less stability, like you said, also I find they are happier with their choice. Not saying that everyone's, all the defense attorneys come over to the plaintiff side, but when I see that, who people I got to know on the other side and trust and respect come over to the plaintiff side and say, I made the right choice for me, that weighs heavy. So that's kind of what went into my mindset of, do I really want to go over to the defense side? Might be fun to try out. This is when I was originally thinking, what change should I make for myself? But at the end of the day, I thought, it's probably not for me, but doesn't mean it's not for somebody else.
There is always a light side and a dark side, and it depends on which person you ask.
Exactly.
Who. But you can't have one without an oppositional force in the adversarial system.
That's a symbiotic relationship. So I think that, it's personal choice is what you think is best for you, what your preference is. There's no right or wrong in this. That's the beauty of it all. I mean, in my mind, what is going to challenge me and make me happy with what I'm doing? And everybody's different. So there's no right choice.
So if I were to kind of be boiling this down, I'm using the funnel technique from depositions, by the way. If I were to be boiling this down, what I'm hearing is be deliberative in the process. It was not something that you thought lightly about. Be open and transparent with your firm in terms of the changes that you're planning on making. And make sure that what you're doing next is something that challenges you and something that brings you joy, whatever that is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I tell my wife all the time, we work to live, we don't live to work. So you want to make sure that there's something there that's going to make you happy at the end of the day. You're going to go home and feel accomplished. And that's all those points you raise is exactly right. But I think the one that I'd highlight the most is make sure you're happy with what you're doing so that you actually, go in the office every day and you bring forth the best product because of so.
Well, thank you, Robert. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening today. Please email us at podcast@coopers.law with questions, comments, feedback, and suggestions about how you have approached transitions in your life. Like what you heard? Share us with a colleague and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. To all of you doing justice out there, happy hunting.